streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Roy and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back. Like she said, the hottest radio show worldwide. Tonight, we got a great, great show for you tonight. And without further ado, we're going to bring our great guest on tonight, and she's going to formally introduce herself, and we're going to move forward tonight. Hello, and how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. I'm so honored to be on your show. Thank you.
It's a blessing to have you. Would you formally introduce yourself to the audience, and we'll get this great interview started.
Yep, I am Tonier Kane, coming to you live from Maryland.
Sounds good. Well, Ms. Kane, we're going to get right to the end. Now, the first question I want to ask you, how did you get caught up with using crack, and where did it lead you?
Well, you know, I started using crack around age 19 after I had been in a lot of bad, really, really bad situations. I started drinking around age 9, around the same time that I had started to begin experiencing sexual abuse, sexual molestation. There was a lot of neglectful ways that, you know, my mother was had at the time. She was a single mom at with 7 of us at the time. She had more later on, and I was the oldest. So so very early on, I found out that one of the ways that I can help numb out some of the things that was happening to me was to drink, and I would find those half-filled cups from those last night's parties. And what I realized was drinking, when I drank these half-filled cups, when I start to sneak around and try to drink as many half-filled cups I can possibly find, it, you know, helped me to deal with my reality. So I started drinking very early on as a child. I became an alcoholic by age 15. But by age 15, I had been taken away from my mother, put into foster care, taken out of foster care, given to a family member, going back to my mother, realizing things hadn't changed. So I attempted suicide. I woke up in a hospital after taking a whole bottle of pills, trying to kill myself. Didn't work, of course. Here I am. And I went back to my mother. They would just release me right back to my mother, who sent me to live with her sister. So it was a lot of moving around and a lot of bouncing back and forth. But it still gave my mother some control over my life. So when I went to live with my aunt, my mother became very good friends with this guy that thought I was cute and wouldn't mind making his wife. And she signed a marriage license for me to marry him. And I married him, and he became one of the worst nightmares for me. He would beat me sometimes down into the ground until he seen blood. So I experienced a lot of stuff going on in my life up into the crack. So one day somebody came to me and was like, try this, and it worked for me. You know what I mean? It was a drug that helped me to numb. And that's what I always looked for. I was always seeking for something to help me to get outside of myself and not have to deal with what had happened to me, what was happening to me, and whatever the world was going to bring. I had this new drug that was going to help me to just numb out anything. My husband ended up leaving me and taking our son, and all bets was off then. You know, the only thing that I had that I knew that would love me was gone. So I went where the only place that's always welcomed you with open arms, and that was the streets.
And after you got so caught up, you know, because I read where you had dealt with crack 19 years, you know,
yep,
of that addiction.
Yep. Yeah,
and how do you describe that to these young people that's out here thinking drugs and drinking is a good way to cope with something that's happening? Describe that to them where they can understand that that will either kill you or you will either straighten up with God's grace. Explain that to the audience.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, crack cocaine worked for just a moment. But in order for me to obtain that drug, I had to do some things. And when I did things that I did, you know, I ended up in the streets prostituting for 19 years. I was homeless. I couldn't go in anybody's house. So, yeah, I had this drug to help me to numb out, you know, some stuff that was happening to me. But it had destroyed everything. It has taken me even to a darker pit. You know, my hell got even deeper, and the darkness was darker. You know, so it numbs you out, but you got a lot of stuff that come along with it that's not easy to undo. I ended up with 83 arrests and 66 convictions. You know what I mean? So it was a coping mechanism that only worked for a moment for me, but in the long run, all it did was just take me deeper into despair. You know, but what I realized was I had to replace those old coping mechanism, which was some drugs and the prostitution and all the things that I did. I used to fight a lot. And those are just, you know, the ways that I was trying to tap into my survival mode. But I just needed a healthier toolkit, you know, but I never knew that I just needed to replace my toolkit with some better tools, you know, some healthier tools. And one of the tools, you know, you talk about the grace of God. 13 years ago, I'm in prison pregnant. I had already lost 4 kids. I'm in prison pregnant again, and I laid on that concrete floor, and I didn't even call it a prayer, but it was an eerie cry of desperation. I said, God, I don't even know if you listen to people like me, but if you do, please help me. Please help me. And you know, and I went that direction because I remember somebody saying, it's all else failed, why not look up to God? And at that point,
amen,
everything had failed. Everything had failed. You know what I mean? And it's something that was, like you said, it's either going to kill you or get you caught up even deeper. And the things that I was doing in the street was things to survive, but I was breaking the law. You know, prostitution is not legal, regardless of what anybody tells you. It is not legal.
Amen,
sister. I don't care how nice the guy's car is and how much money he got, it's still against the law. And so all those things. I remember snatching somebody's pocketbook, and I mean going tug of war with this lady pocketbook, and I'm saying let go. She
over
telling
her.
Me let go. Yeah, and the whole time
and
she
it's her.
Me let go. She calling my name. She calling my name. Me, let my purse go. Me, let my purse go.
Right. I know you, girl. Hold on.
Yeah.
I know you. Don't you remember me? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, I was just like, "Mom, what you doing?" You know what I mean? So,
all right, so
yeah, but that's the
you had took the game to a whole nother level. You had took it to a whole nother level, like you just explained. You know, when you first started numbing with the crack and everything like that, you didn't realize that this monster right here is going to take me into a darkest place that I never went through in my life. You know.
Absolutely.
So now you're in a very, very dark place. Now, how is life now? You're in a dark place.
Yeah.
How is life treating you now?
Oh, man, exactly. And when I tell you mine's just so dark, you know, you said we want to try to get to the kids so they can understand this thing is about destruction. It was formed to destroy you. You know, it was. This thing was developed. This whole thing is of a whole different world we can't even understand. That's where it comes from. And so you're fighting something that you're never going to win on your own. You're just not. You know what I mean? And this is how dark it was for me. I was out prostituting one night. I was 7 months pregnant. out prostitute looking tore from the floor. But I was out there on the block prostitute. And, of course, somebody picked me up. This guy picked me up, took me to his house. In the midst of the intercourse, my water broke. My water broke. He gave me $10 for me. I was like, do you know that my world was so dark I couldn't go to the hospital? You know where I went? I went to the shooting gallery because at that point I was shooting it in my veins. I went to the shooting gallery to shoot drugs up in my veins with my water streaming down my leg. The fluid that protects my child is flowing down my legs, and I went to a dirty, filthy shooting gallery to shoot drugs. That's how dark it'll take you. That's how dark it'll take you. You know what I mean?
And you ain't even caring that I'm in labor. My labor is I need to go get high. I ain't
right,
worried
exactly.
about this water. I'm going to go get
pain.
High. And whatever happens, happens.
That's right.
Yeah. And whatever happens
and
from this point, it happens.
Yeah.
And I hope that the audience is paying close attention. Because what you just said, that happens every day,
yeah.
all day,
yeah.
when it comes to the dark world of drugs and drug
yes.
use. And this is what these young children and older need to understand, that there's no such thing as recreation on the weekend. There's
absolutely
no such
not.
Thing as I can handle this. You know, I sold drugs for many, many years. You know, I'm from Detroit, but I have
mm-hmm.
seen exactly what you just spoke on. I've seen
yeah.
it with my own eyes due to the houses I used to have, you know, back
yeah.
in the 80s
yeah.
and in the early 90s. So back in them days, as you know, drugs was drugs back then. You was getting the real
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
This thing
yeah.
out here now, you don't know what you're getting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're dying quicker than you use it. And for a
yeah.
woman like you to survive the monster, and that's what we call crack in Detroit and heroin. When you
yeah.
survive the monster that took you all the way down to the flow, I mean towed you all the way down to
yeah.
nothing, stripped you of everything, and you come back on my radio show and other people that you have talked to too, it's nothing but God, grace,
yes.
and mercy pulled
yes.
you up out the belly of the beast because that's where you went to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
so
you
your
know,
testimony,
you're right.
young lady, is a powerful one. I want you to always understand your testimony is going to continue to help people because you've been there, you've done that,
yeah.
you know how it feels not to have anything, you know how it feels for people to look down on you, you know how it feels like you just spoke, to be in a drug house, and I'm sitting up here with my water broke, and my man give me $10 and say, get out of my house. You know
exactly.
how I feel for somebody to just turn their total back on you after
yeah.
you turned your back on your own self.
Yeah.
You know? So we're going to get into the 66 convictions. How did you end up with 66 convictions, young lady?
When you out on the streets for 19 years and you're not allowed to go in anybody's house, you homeless, you know what I mean? You survive, you know what I mean? Mine was always, again, all of my arrest was because of my addiction, you know, the things that I was doing because of my homelessness and my addiction. And so I was doing things, so you get the thefts, you get the prostitution, you get the violation. You know what I mean? You get the possessions and the paraphernalia, and they just rack up. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I went to court one time, the last time I went to court, and they had the pretrial people in there to read my record. And that's how I knew, because I didn't count them up, you know, and, you know, the state.
Yeah, you was always high. You didn't know what was
right.
happening.
I didn't know how many I thought, shoot, if you had told me, it was my first one every time.
Amen.
But I'm standing there and because you get to the point where there's no hope. You feel that you really believe that there's no hope for you. So you kind of just, you can't just go with it. You know what I mean? So they was like, she, Miss Kane had 83 arrests and this is her, she's here to chance after chance after chance. And they was right. You know, because I had 83 arrests. I only been convicted 66 times. So, yeah, I had some chances in there, huh? And
amen.
And that's how it was for me. Yeah, some few chances in it. But that's how it was, you know what I mean? And but mine went a little further because everywhere I went, I was getting hurt. You know, the first drug program that the very first one I went to, the drug counselor raped me. You know what I mean? And then I had was sexual abuse in some of the correctional facilities. So, you know, it was one of those things where you're already dealing with that those demons. You already deal with that darkness. And then it's just everywhere you go, people show you and treat you like you're nothing.
You get in a dog hole.
Yes.
You get in a dog hole
yes.
everywhere.
Eating
let me
out
ask
of
you this right
can.
Here. Yeah. So if you had to say anything to these young kids nowadays, and to anybody that's still using, trying to get it right, what would be your words from a young lady who lived it, survived it, and lived to talk about it? What would you tell them people?
I always tell them, you know, does not matter what it looks like, what you feel like, and what somebody tell you, or what the paperwork say. As long as you're breathing, as long as you have breath in your body, there's hope. You know what I mean? And that you are, and I tell everybody, we are creating the image of the Almighty God. We're worth saving. We are. We need to get to the point where we really believe that we're worth saving, and the people that's surrounding us got to see that also. And I always tell people, no matter, I'm going to tell you, 83 arrests, 56 conviction, 19 years, they gave maybe mental health diagnosis that you can possibly get, losing all my children, prostituting, all homeless, all these things, everything that you could possibly go through, I've been through every single thing. Somebody drugged me in the woods and beat me, raped me, and choked me until I went unconscious. I've been beat, raped so many times I can't even count it. You know what I mean? I cannot even count how many times I was beat down and raped. So I always tell people, no matter what you've done, no matter what has been done to you, no matter what people tell you, please seek help, seek treatment. And if it don't work the first time, keep seeking it. You know what I mean? And because eventually, if you keep, you'll find it. For me, you know, one of the tools I had to replace, put in my toolbox was my relationship with Jesus. I had to. Because, see,
amen.
I couldn't do, and don't get me wrong, NA worked for many people, but the only thing I ever got from NA was laid. You hear me? Laid by
mm-hmm.
one of the guys that wanted to pick me up. And don't get me wrong, NA worked for millions of people, but it did not work for me. See, because I needed something a little bit more than what the traditional wanted to give me. I wanted deliverance. And I knew that was only going to come through my relationship with Jesus. And, you know, so I cried out to him. And then, you see, I used to play the Christian many times in prison. You know, we play the Christian to get out of the situation. But when I left prison, I left Jesus back in the prison because I got this thing now. But so I never took
okay,
him out
you
to
good. I'm
get
out.
Me. Right, I'm good. But this time, and you know what, I ain't take him out with me. I asked him to go before me and prepare the way for
sister.
Me. Okay? No,
yes.
I don't need you to walk side by side with me. Jeez, I'm going to need you to go before me. See, because I ain't got no job. I ain't got no life skills. I ain't got no higher education. And I'm pregnant. I'm about to lose it.
I need you to prepare
the way. And I asked for that thing. I asked for it sincerely. I cried out for it.
Yes.
And I found out about the program, a program that helped me to deal with all the things that I was using drugs and alcohol to deal with. I found a program. God, you know, opened up doors for me to go to the program that helped me to deal with those things. See, because where I come from in the community, I come from, ain't nobody talking about therapy. Ain't nobody talking about treatment. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to go to the church.
They talking about let's
go
get high. Let's go see the pastor.
And the pastor really don't know how to deal with that thing for real. He don't pray for you, but you still got all this stuff up in you. You need to find it on your. You need to go get that thing. And so that's how it was for me. But I'm gonna tell you something. When you take somebody with 83 arrests and 66 convictions, and today now I have days named after me by governors and mayors, where do you think that come from? That ain't come from me. There's nothing in me as a human being that could have accomplished what's been accomplished in my life over the last 12 years since I hit the bricks.
Yes, ma'am.
I couldn't have done that.
You know? And what I want to ask you now, I see what I'm reading now, that you wrote a letter to the senators. Is that the senators in your district of Maryland? I'll speak on that to the public.
Well, I wrote to the Senator Health Committee because, you know, I'm really, really concerned about this new health care that they're trying to, you know, I cannot believe that they are willing to cut Medicaid the way that they are, because we're looking at the people like me that's trying to come through, they won't be able to get the treatment that they need. You know what I mean? And I wrote the letter because I really believe that my experience of addiction and recovery will help them understand how critical it is to make sure that insurers, providers could cover mental health and substance abuse treatment, hoping that they will recognize the need to expand it, not to cut it. You know what I mean? You know how much it
Amen.
Costs to incarcerate me over 19 years and put me in all these programs and all these mental health, my children being in the system? You know what I mean? It costs millions of dollars over 19 years to deal with me. You know, so, you know.
Yes.
It's just, when you look at the big picture, because sometimes you got to, when you're talking about this new administration, they want numbers. They don't want to see faces. You know what I mean? We finally had Obamacare put it on for us so we can get what we needed, so we can survive in this dark world, so we can get that little help that we need. And it's going to be snatched. You know what I mean? They're talking about replacing Obamacare. And you know what I call the new care? Snatcher care, because that's what it is. You're going to snatch care from people. So my word is we're going to lose Obamacare and we're going to get the snatch of care, because that's what's going to happen, you know, because people will not have the opportunity to get the help that they need.
To get right.
And to get right. And because most of the people are covered, you know, through Medicaid. You know, even the ones that got jobs, but if they have addiction, they need the insurers to pay for their treatment. So everywhere you look,
right.
You know, cutting Medicare is going to be cutting people lifeline. You know what I mean? We're talking about cutting off people from surviving this darkness, this monster that you and I talked about. We've seen it in two different ways, but we've seen how this monster come to destroy and kill and take us. And that's what's going to happen. This thing, we're going to see people dropping, and you're going to see the suicide rate going up because people are going to get tired of not having a way out. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
It's a lot of things. You know, the positive outcome from expanding Medicare is that once people get the treatment recovered, we know we do. We pay back to the system. I'm no longer a burden. I pay taxes. I take care of my own child. My daughter don't even go to public school. I send her to private school. I don't even get public school. You know what I mean? So we put it back in.
Yes. And another thing I want to tell you before we go, I want to ask you, brother, let the people know when together and what you're doing now in 2017 to not only help you but help others as well move forward. Speak on that.
I started getting together when I hit the bricks, when I came out of prison, I went right into treatment. Before I left treatment, I was already in my first documentary, and then I co-produced my next documentary, Healing Need, the film about my life. I went from that to becoming one of the most sought-after speakers around our country. Since I got out of prison 12 years ago, I've been in every state in the U.S., including Alaska and Hawaii, training providers and how to get better results for people like me. You know, I constantly still go into the prisons. I go everywhere that I need to go to give the message of hope. But I go a little further. I'm not sitting on the sidelines just watching this thing. I want to go in because I want to make sure that it don't take 19 years for the next person to get this. You know what I mean? So I'm in the all public health systems training providers across the board to help substance abuse, mental health, to help deal with that. You know, today I'm a mother. I did a little baby that I was in prison with. She's 12 years old now. You know what I mean? She's amazing. Right now she's on holiday with her best friend. Listen to me using the word holiday instead of vacation. Isn't that something?
Yes. Amen. All right.
But, you know, I became a home. I got out of prison in 2000. I got out of the program in 2005. 2007, I brought my first home. You know what I mean? Within 2 years. You know, so, I mean, it's been a tremendous transformation, you know, because And believe me, I know that it formed, God transformed me. I just kind of allowed him to just, I went where he told me to go. But I just really encourage people.
You was ready.
Yes. You know, I live a good life right now. You know what I mean? I travel. I have a wonderful career. You know, I do all kinds of wonderful things to help people. I have 2 nonprofits and all of that. But, you know, my concern right now is that we get those that do have successful recovery stories to contact their representative, because this week is it. We need to say, hey, look, as a result of me getting treatment because I have Medicaid, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. I'm putting in the pot. My hand not in the cookie jar no more. I'm putting in the cookie jar. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And I'm out there. We're out there helping others. I'm not just paying taxes and going on about my business. I'm going back out there to help people to come up and come out so they can go back and help somebody come out. So we're looking at breaking cycles. We're looking at changing people's lives, family lives, and most importantly, the community. We're changing the communities,
right.
One person, one family at a time. And we need this.
Right.
We need Medicaid to do this. We need it to be expanded. We need to continue to have the coverage that we've been given. We've been blessed with the Obamacare.
No doubt. And, anything you would like to say to the public in your last statement?
Just know that where there's breath, there's hope, you know. So don't never give up on yourself, because you got somebody like me out there not only opening up doors for you, I'm creating doors for people. So that's what it's about. I love everybody, and I'm out there trying to do the best I can to make sure when you guys are ready, we get this, make sure this, we get that Medicaid thing expanded, and we get these doors open so we can all live a life that was destined for us all.
Amen. Now, if someone wanted to get in touch with you dealing with your nonprofit or things
mm-hmm.
like that, give them your information to get in contact.
Yeah. Yep. And anything that I'm doing, my tour, I got a tour coming up. I have my book. I have a book. I'm an author. I have a book about my life. I have a film about my life, or anything. Even if you want to learn how to write a letter or need us to help you with getting your message out and your voice out to this the Center Health Committee, please contact. Go to TonierKane.com. That's my website. It's my name, TonierKane.com. Again, that's TonierKane.com, and you can contact us from there, and we'll get right back to you.
That sounds good. And what I would like to say, Ms. King, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show tonight. And we want to thank our girl, Ms. Smith, who always sent us great people to interview. We've been working with her a very long time, so I want to give a big shout out to my homegirl out there in Cali. Keep moving forward and doing the good things that you do as well. And if you get time, check our website out, Ms. King, streetsdontloveyouback.com. And we have an intervention program that's in 150 prisons around the country. And me and my wife work with 4 different courthouses here in Arizona. And we just got in all the Arizona prisons in January. And we also work with the senators and legislations and the governor here in Arizona and the judges and the prosecutors. So we do a lot of work as well across the country. We've been around 8 years, and this is what we do, educate kids against gangs, drugs, and violence and abuse. So we would just like to thank you for coming to the show. Keep up the good work you're doing, and let's keep moving forward helping people.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you for having me on the show. God bless.
You too. Have a great one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Ms. King, and we hope that you got something out of that. Wow, the things that she has come through and the life that she has lived. She gave you the rundown. And now we're going to get into some music and some commercials.
I sat in an empty apartment. I found a 9mm under the kitchen sink, and I stuck it up to my head, and I was ready to pull the trigger and ready to die. You know, I knew what I made of my life was a living hell. My name is Joe, and I'm 20 years old. I'm from Apache Junction, Arizona, and I started using meth when I was 16. I was doing about an 8-ball a day, and it was terrible. It was lonely. you know, being out using it was lonely because all the friends that you had before, and they want nothing to do with you. And I pulled my oldest brother into it, got him wrapped up and involved in it, and, you know, the first time he tried it, he was hooked. You don't realize that it's not only hurting yourself, but it's hurting everybody around you. I look back now, I mean, everything I said that I didn't want to be is what I turned out to be, because I know how bad I was, and I know how many people I've hurt around me. I know that that's not something that I'm wanting to do again.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
The paranoia, the shadow people. You start seeing random shadows thinking that people are following you. You're in a house, you think everyone's out to get you, even though they're supposed to be your friends, you think. You think everyone just hates you, basically. My name is Alan. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I started doing meth when I was 16 years old. One thing I do a lot of is steal from my family. That was probably the most hurtful. I take everything that they liked, and I would go and trade them for drugs. I'd go to a pawn shop and pawn them off just for just maybe 20, 30 bucks just to get high. My morals were pretty messed up at the time. All my reservations were gone. I said I'd never steal from my family. I would never steal from a random individual. I've done all those. I had to get to that point to where I lost everything. Family gave up on me. Pretty much had nobody but myself, which I did to myself, so.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Hello everyone, I have a serious question to ask. Have you been struggling to get yourself motivated into getting better health? Well hey, I have the perfect solution for you on Plexus Worldwide. So make sure you go to robertboy.myplexusproducts.com. Let me repeat that, robertboy.myplexusproducts.com, and check out Rob and Lucinda Boyd's online Plexus Slim store, because right now they're running a 3-day decision pack special for only $11.95, and this is the opportunity of a lifetime. So make sure you tell your family and your friends so we can all join in and make a toast with the pink drink. Let's get fit. I love y'all. Bless.
Dear self, I wish that you knew then what I know now. To a 14-year-old boy named Jay, TV missing again. My hat was on top of it, I guess he must have dropped the wind. Fuck, I wish Pop would stop the shit, lay down, wake up and come into a lie. Hell with school, man, you tell me why I try. Learn Dewey Decimal while blood in my vessels. Neighborhood, know what you do and don't respect you. Battle between what to hold on and let go. That's the area I wrestle. Masteria, tearing my brother Eric up. Popped on the bench and people wanna stare at us. Empty refrigerator for lady, you wasn't there with us. Enough of dinner is rice, and you say that the strip.
I wanna say thank you to the Streets Don't Love You Back. This is a song that I did with my dad. It's about never giving up. My name is Jada, and this is my new song, Bring Up the Lights.
the day that you know won't be fair. You ain't be scared, you gotta take a chance sometime. Just go over to her, take a hand, say, girl, you're gonna be mine. Cause time is on your side, but only if you hop.
The Streets Don't Love You Back are bringing hope to the homeless by giving back. The Streets Don't Love You Back feed and clothe the homeless the first Sunday of every month. We are in need of food, clothes, underwear, socks, shoes, blankets, backpacks, and personal hygiene products. To get involved, join us at thestreetsdontloveyouback.com or email us at thestreetsdontloveyouback@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at Giving Back to the Homeless. We thank you all for your generous support.
Way to the top and make the stars.
Hey, yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gonna start. I ain't with
with that same foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gonna score.
I ain't with that same foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gonna score.
I ain't with that same foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gonna score.
I ain't with that same foolishness no more.
I'm the life for the party. The excitement for shorty, don't bring your wife to the party. I'm trying to jump on that, I want her to ride me like Harley. Ain't no one.
I think I need a little bit of cigarette. Got the new boot parked outside, loud pack, and I think I need the Alizé. Take a trip down Lakeshore Drive, lift the seat back, give a little go slow. She tripping cause her boyfriend called. I tell her answer cause with me, don't know. She going hard on the loop. Ow, I took the jewelry on my neck like pink tie. I hit the rim and then I gave it to cow. I ain't petty but the chick kinda stay a while. Now I gotta think I'm gon' go. She'll another spend the night while I don't know. If I get it, hit it right then she won't go. Tryna call her one of friends and I might smoke.
Keep it on the low. If it goes down, nobody has to know.
With the most high, ask him where's my girl. When you made for me to have eternally in my life, think I found my girl.
You're my angel, baby. You're just like a falling star.
Community, family, and protecting dreams. These are the things that the Chris K. Hart Agency of American Family Insurance believes in. We all have dreams, and the Chris K. Hart Agency can partner with you and the people most important to help make those dreams become reality. Whether it's buying a home, starting a business, or protecting the ones you love most with life insurance. Let's dream fearlessly and reach for the stars. Now, if you're in the Maricopa County, Phoenix metro area, you can call 602-235-0071. If you're in the Pinal County area, you can call 520-350-2500. And if you're trying to reach the American Family Insurance Agency online, go to www.chriskharagency.com. Or you can go to CCAHALL@AMFAM.com. We keep it fam around here. Dream fearlessly.
Home smart success. Home smart success. Home smart success. Home smart success. Yes.
Greetings, my beautiful people. If you're looking to find a great deal on a new home or you're contemplating selling your current home, I had a perfect team for you at Home Smart Success. That's right, I said it. Home Smart Success, you dig? So if you need assistance, all you have to do is contact Mark or Carrie at Home Smart Success, and they will gladly take care of you, all right? And while you're at it, make sure you tell them the streets don't love you back, sit. But like I said, make sure you contact Mark or Carrie at 602-799-7344, or you can go to www.homebargainplanet.com. And if you need to search homes throughout Phoenix, Arizona, you can also go to www.homebargainplanet.com. All right? Yeah.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the hottest show worldwide. And I just want to come out and thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Hope you got some out of that great interview from Miss Kane. And if you have not went to our website, check us out, streetsonloveyouback.com. Learn more about what we do. If you would like to make a donation, the donation link is on the website. Get involved with all the things we do, educating our youth against gangs, drugs, and violence and abuse. Also, you can buy the book, the Streets Don't Love You Back book, the Never Hit a Woman book, and we have the Streets Don't Love You Back Life Skill Intervention Program that's in 150 prisons around the country, here in the Arizona prison system, also in four different courthouses here in Arizona as well. So learn more about what we do. Get involved, because it's all about helping the people move forward in the game. Peace and love. We thank you for tuning in. We'll check you out tomorrow. God bless.